Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
This is one of those times where the reading of the gospel itself is almost an entire sermon in my mind. From the fifth chapter of Matthew, first in the New Revised Standard Version, and then I'm going to read it again in the Message. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And again, as I said, to hear with slightly different ears from a modern interpretation by Eugene Peterson called The Message. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Having arrived at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said: "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and God's rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. God is food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens, give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble." This is the good news. And for it, we are thankful. We call those the Beatitudes or the Blessings. And there are many versions of them, including the ones I just read, just a couple of translations or interpretations of the same text from the same gospel to give a slightly different flavor and insight into them. Some really great words. I love the one in particular about you're blessed when you get your heart and your mind, your insides put right, because then you can see God in the outside world. But there are many beautiful imaginings of the Beatitudes even in just in that passage. And The Beatitudes are recorded more than once in the Gospels, and they are slightly different. Luke, for example, differs from Matthew in that his Beatitudes are a little bit more earthy and immediate. So where Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, Luke says simply, blessed are the poor. Both, I believe, powerful messages that Jesus intended to and did convey over the course of his ministry. And so both equally valid and important renderings of that same, those same words, whatever they were originally. But there are many ways of thinking about and conceiving of the blessings that Jesus speaks in this passage. There's even the humorous take from Monty Python's Life of Brian, where in a scene toward the beginning of the movie, this crowd has gathered and they're trying to listen to Jesus, but he's too far away and they can't hear him. And so they keep mishearing the Beatitudes that he speaks or having to repeat them to one another. Blessed are the who now? Blessed are the what? Blessed are the which ones? Oh, blessed are the meek. What do they get? Oh, the earth. Very nice. It's time they got something. And of course, the ever famous, what did he say there? I couldn't hear him. He said, blessed are the cheesemakers. Blessed are the cheesemakers. Yes, very important. The things that Jesus lists as being blessed are not things that people would have thought of as blessing at that time or that we really think of as blessing now. And so in a world then and now where prosperity and health and the outward signs of blessing are still kind of considered to be signs that a person has been blessed inwardly, blessed by God, Jesus' words are a challenge. They are a scandal. They are almost on the par of being sacrilegious. The teaching of his day was that if a person appeared to be blessed because they had wealth and strength and power and all those good things, then that meant that they were blessed by God. And if a person appeared to be suffering or stigmatized or mourning or injured or harmed, then it must be because of something they had done and that they were being punished or cursed by God or by the forces around them for some unseen transgression. Jesus fights that assumption every time he sees it. When people are brought to him for healing and they ask, who sinned that this child has been born disfigured or suffering or in pain? And Jesus says, no, it's not about that. We still fall into this trap today. There's sort of a school of thought that we call the prosperity gospel. It basically says if you believe hard enough and try hard enough and are a good enough person, God's going to bless you. And you might hear people with this message, admirable way, speak of, you know, televangelists who want your money, saying, you know, if you give more money or if you do the things I say you're supposed to do, then you're going to get more money. You're going to get more power. You're going to get more wealth. God has this plan for you, and the only thing that's holding you back from having all of the wealth and power and privilege and blessing in the world is that you haven't done the things I'm telling you to do and understood the world in the way in which I'm telling you to understand it. And so we still fall into this trap that those outward signs of blessing are what makes a person blessed or what shows that someone has been blessed. That's not at all what Jesus has to say. So the idea that people can be blessed and beloved by God when they seem least so, least blessed in our eyes, the idea that God's blessing doesn't look like what we expect, doesn't fall upon those we can recognize, but upon those God recognizes as being in need of it, this was and still pretty much is new. It's a slap in the face to what the world believes. When we see people bent under misfortune, we might in uncharitable moments think the closest thing that comes to mind, there but for the grace of God go we. Or we might pray that God bless them. Can we imagine that God already is blessing them? And can we accept and believe that God is blessing us when we are the ones bent under misfortune and struggling with the weight of our need? I think there are two ways we need to hear these blessings, these beatitudes. One is as a reminder of those whom God blesses, not the people who seem most blessed or prosperous or powerful or strong or happy. Those who are most in need of blessing, those are the ones whom God blesses. And then the second way is to remember from the perspective of the places in our lives where we need to receive blessing. That those parts of our experience that seem irredeemable are those places where God is blessing us most. We might think of the kind of famous poem, Footprints, about the person walking along the beach and seeing those times of struggle in their life, and that there was only one set of footprints where the rest of the time God's walking with them, right? And the person questions God and says, where were you in those times of my greatest struggle? And God says, my child, that was when I carried you. Or put another way, to paraphrase from the Apostle Paul, when I'm at my weakest, God is at God's strongest. That in those moments when we are most in need and we feel least blessed, that God is blessing us. And so it was in that vein, in both of those ways, the reminder of those whom God blesses, the unlovely and unlovable, perhaps in our midst, and asking about those places in ourselves most in need of blessing, that I asked the folks on my Facebook page this week, what modern beatitudes do you need to hear right now? What blessings do you need to hear proclaimed? What reminders do you need that God loves the people who need loving most, blesses those who need blessing most? And where do you need the reminder that the parts of your life that feel the darkest and lowest are both most in need of blessing, and that is where God is most present? And so, based on their responses and my added and somewhat jumbled thoughts, I give you this. Blessed are those who are busy and weary, for they will find bone-deep rest. Blessed are those who are addicted, for they will be given wholeness and satisfaction in God. Blessed are the caregivers, for they will find themselves in good care. Blessed are the children of elderly parents, for they will be embraced by God, their parent. Blessed are those who are frail and worn, for they will renew their strength. Blessed are the advocates for others, for their labors bring blessing to all, including themselves. Blessed are those filled with righteous rage at the injustices around them, for their hearts will be filled with wonder at the justice of God's shalom. Blessed are those who are bullied and teased, for they will be called children of sacred worth, created in the image of God. Blessed are those who are defrocked and rejected, for their prophetic voice is the call to God's unconditional love. Blessed are those without housing, for they must always have a home. Blessed are those among the working poor, for they will find wealth and abundance in the common wealth of God. Blessed are those who live with mental illness, for their thoughts and feelings are fully heard, fully held in God's hands. Blessed are those who are separated, divorced, estranged, for they will be drawn into God's loving covenant. Blessed are those who are undocumented, for they will be full citizens of God's realm. Blessed are those whose bodies are hurting, for they will find strength to gather up their broken limbs. Blessed are those whose hearts are broken, for God will knit the pieces back together with cords of loving kindness. Blessed are those who are afraid, anxious, and ready to give up, for God will call them courageous and creative. Blessed are those who take leaps of faith, for they will find their feet on the solid but new-sprung ground of God's unfolding creation. Blessed are those who are marginalized and cast aside by the church itself, who feel they cannot belong, for they will be parts, integral parts, of the true body of Christ. Blessed are you when you feel least blessed, when you have been most reviled, rejected, punished, and put out by other people, by life, yes, it may even seem by God's own self. Know instead that in those moments that God is closest to you, gathering and tending you, naming you a child of God, pouring grace upon grace over you, Rejoice and be glad as your tender heart is able, for yours is the infinite love of God. What beatitudes do you need to hear? Where do you need reminding of whom God loves, even and especially when that person is you? Amen.